Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Imagine the headline. Herod serves head of John the Baptist for dessert at birthday bash. This gospel reading is the kind of thing that would have made news back in the day. It's the kind of thing that still makes news now. Right? There's politics and power and persecution, and it all goes down at a party. You can imagine the exclusive club, the velvet ropes, the bouncers at the door, and the luxury that awaited anyone lucky enough to get inside. There was political networking, mutual ego stroking, and lavish expenses, all with a taxpayer footing the bill. Everybody who was anybody was at Herod's party. And of course, at one point in the party, Herodias, Herod's daughter, or niece turned stepdaughter, depending on who you ask, did a little dance for them. Of course, she wasn't some trained dancer. The Greek wording calls her a maiden. So think of a teenager. Think of a girl whose body is just starting to develop. A girl who was getting some creepy looks from her father and his friends. She probably danced only because he forced her to do it. She didn't want to find out what would happen to her after the party if she didn't. Well, when she was done dancing, Herod decided to show off his power. And in front of everybody, basically promised her the moon. He said he would give her whatever she wanted, up to half of his kingdom. Well, only a really powerful man could follow through with a promise like that. Clearly, this was more about him flaunting his power in front of his guests than actually giving her some thank you present. But since the blank check was a little too much for the girl to handle, she asked her mother what to do with it. And then, using her mother's idea, she demanded the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the story could just end there, with a powerful man taking the life of a less powerful man simply because he could. It could sound like so many political news stories today, where there's abuse of power, children who are used, and little guys who are stepped on. But of course, if some journalists dug deeper into the story, they would discover that Herod was a little bit of a sympathizer for John. Notice verse 20. Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. So at his party, Herod had a big choice to make. He could have either protected John, reneged on his promise, and lost all credibility in the sight of his friends, or he could give up his interest in John, kill him, and save face. Of course, he did the latter. Because apparently what people think of you is more important than what you believe. So, unlike many politicians, he kept his promise and served up John's head as the final course for the birthday banquet. You can imagine that this would have been a trending story. It would have been clickbait. People would have made memes about Herod's party. And it's a great story. But it raises a few important questions. The big one being, why in the world is it in the Bible to begin with? Yes, it sounds like a news story. But why is it so important that it made it into Holy Scripture? Also, when I read it to you just a moment ago, I said, the gospel of the Lord, and you said, praise to you, O Christ. But if you noticed, our Lord Christ is nowhere to be found in this scene. This is the longest part of any of the gospels where Jesus is not a main character. So why is it here? Well, some scholars think that it's a foreshadowing of what's going to happen to Jesus and his disciples. Right before this scene, we get the passage we heard last week. The one where Jesus was rejected at Nazareth and then sent the disciples out to share the good news. After this reading is when the disciples return and tell Jesus what they did. So, like John, Jesus is going to be executed for the things he said. And many of the disciples will speak out and become martyrs too. Perhaps that's why the scene is here. Or maybe it's a contrast to the larger scene that follows, when Jesus feeds the 5,000, which we'll hear about in 2 weeks. That would put Herod's party of murder in contrast to Jesus' party of abundance. That could be why it's here. But there's still another problem. Because you see, this whole thing is a flashback. It's actually the only flashback in all four of the Gospels. Which means the death of John does not happen at the same time as the stories around it. It happened long before them. But there is one part that does happen at the same time. It's at the very beginning of the reading, right before we even hear anything about the park. It's the only time we hear Jesus' name in this passage. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason, these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. Well, what is the it that King Herod heard about in that first verse? Most Bibles just say it. But the reading in your bulletin actually clarifies it for you by putting a little note in brackets. Herod heard about the ministry of the disciples. He heard they were out there sharing the good news. This is the moment that happens in real time with what comes before and after. But so what? Why does that matter for us? Because the same sort of thing happens with the life of the church today. Like Herod did to the disciples, so people today might look at us and wonder why we do what we do. They might see us and think we're foolish. And just as Herod killed John in order to look good in front of his friends, people today might try to kill the church too in order to look good. They will criticize and mock and ignore. They say that the things that really matter in life are the things that make headline news. That's what's important, not the church. And so when they hear us proclaim the good news, they just try to explain it away. They might say that we're naive or foolish, that we're just playing pretend. But remember what else the text said about Herod and John. Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. The world might be confused about us. They might mock us. But he liked to listen to him. Herod wanted to hear what John had to say. And the same thing happens today. The world wants to hear what we have to say. There's a lot of pressure on them to maintain a certain image. Just look at social media, for crying out loud. But like Herod, they want to listen. Why? Because we proclaim Jesus. Think of it like this. These opening verses to this story sound remarkably similar to when Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some people think you're Elijah or one of the prophets, or some say you're John the Baptist." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." In that scene, Peter got it. Peter understood. Yes, he didn't quite understand what it meant for Jesus to be the Messiah, but at least he was on the right track. Herod was not on the right track. Herod did not understand that Jesus and the disciples were spreading the good news because Jesus was, in fact, the Messiah. That's the reason why we do what we do. Or let me put it like this. We could say the world is a mess. We could say that the most important things are political influencers and children's rights and protecting the little guy. And those things are important. But how often do you watch the evening news and then feel worse when it's all done? Yes, they might try to end the broadcast with some feel-good human interest piece, but that's not really what we need. What we need is the one who comes into our messy world, one who holds on to us in the midst of it. And one who loves us so much that not even death can stop it. We need Jesus. And that's why we're here. Because we need that good news. So hear it now. No matter what is happening in the world, no matter what tough choices you're facing, no matter how you are confused or certain, powerless or powerful, homemaker or history maker, Jesus has come to you. You have meaning and purpose and forgiveness. You are not captive to your faults and your fears and your failures. The bad things you have done and the bad things that have happened to you do not define you. You have been given new life in Christ. That is good news, my friend. For you and for the world. And the world is longing to hear it. And so, like the original disciples, we tell it. Of course, chances are we'll never make the news for this. There will probably never be some big, bold headline that says, "Church proclaims good news of life in Christ." But remember, stories like Herod's birthday party come and go. People like Herod are still sinners, still mortal, and still can't control everything. They might get their 15 minutes of fame, but then people forget about them. Like yesterday's news. Even if they do end up in the history books, or even in Holy Scripture, people like Herod are still not worthy of our devotion. And they still cannot give your life meaning. But Jesus, the one who forgives us, who redeems us, who sets us free, who gives us new life, Jesus lasts forever. Jesus is the one we serve and adore. Jesus is the one who gives us true life. That is the message the disciples were spreading. That is the message that caught Herod's ear. And that is the message that we proclaim to the world today. It is the message that we and they need to hear. No matter what the headlines say, no matter what's reported in the evening news, no matter what is the big news event in your life right now, this is still good news for you. The world may be a mess, but Jesus has come to you in it. And he gives you new life. This, my friends, is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of the one who sends us out and whose name we proclaim, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.